The fact that banks and organized financial markets are regulated complicates the course of events tremendously. Financial history is best interpreted as a reflexive process in which there are two sets of participants instead of one: competitors and regulators. Such a system is much more complex than the case we studied in the stock market. There, the regulatory environment was more or less fixed. It was the backdrop against which the drama was acted out. Here, the regulatory environment is an integral part of the process. It is important to realize that the regulators are also participants. There is a natural tendency to regard them as superhuman beings who somehow stand outside and above the economic process and intervene only when the participants have made a mess of it. That is not the case. They also are human, all too human. They operate with imperfect understanding, and their activities have unintended consequences. Indeed, they seem to adjust to changing circumstances less well than those who are motivated by profit and loss. So that regulations are generally designed to prevent the last mishap, not the next one. The deficiencies of regulation tend to be more noticeable when conditions are rapidly changing, and conditions tend to change more rapidly when the economy is less regulated. We begin to discern a reflexive relationship between the regulators and the economy they regulate. It gives rise to a process that takes place concurrently with the process of credit expansion and contraction, and interacts with it. It is no wonder that the result is so complex and perplexing. The regulatory cycle does not have the asymmetric character of the credit cycle. It seems to fit the wave pattern we developed for the currency market better than the boom and bust pattern of the credit cycle. Just as freely floating currencies tend to fluctuate between over- and undervaluation, so market economies tend to fluctuate between over- and under-regulation. The length of the cycle seems to be correlated with the credit cycle, and one can sense intuitively why that should be so. Credit expansion and contraction have much to do with changes in the economy, which in turn have a bearing on the adequacy of regulations. Conversely, the regulatory environment influences not only how fast credit can expand, but also how far. Clearly, there is a two-way connection between credit and regulation, but it is far from clear to me at this stage of the investigation what pattern, if any, the interaction follows. That is the main source of my confusion. We have identified a credit cycle that follows a boom-bust pattern, a regulatory cycle that is more wave-like, and an interplay between the two whose pattern is unclear. There are, of course, many secular developments involved as well, some of which relate to credit, some to regulation, and some to both. We have mentioned that central banks tend to get stronger after each crisis. That is a secular development that renders each cycle unique. In the Great Depression, both the banking system and the international trading system collapsed, making the contraction of credit and economic activity much more severe than it would have been otherwise. We can be certain that every effort will be made to avoid a similar collapse in this cycle. We did not dwell on the information revolution or on the improvements in transportation that have helped the development of an integrated world economy. The outcome of all these influences is a unique course of events that is easier to explain than to predict. Looked at from this perspective, the entire post-war period is part of a large expansionary boom that is now well advanced and ripe for a bust. The bust has been avoided, however, by the intervention of the authorities at crucial moments. The same post-war period has also seen an almost complete swing from government regulation to unrestrained competition. We are now at a curious moment where the bias in favor of deregulation is still on the rise, yet the need for government intervention in specific areas is beginning to reassert itself. The banking industry, for one, is already on the way to becoming more regulated. One could try and write a history of the post-war era in these terms. The present credit cycle started after the end of World War II. The origins of the regulatory cycle go back even farther to the New Deal, although the creation of the Bretton Woods system can be taken as the starting point as far as the world economy is concerned. The expansion that followed was intimately related to the removal of restrictions on international trade and investment. But international capital movements created problems for the Bretton Woods system that were never anticipated and remain unresolved. I shall not attempt to present the complete story here. I shall start at the point where I became actively involved, and I shall follow the path of my own involvement. This will give the investigation a more experimental character. My experience began after the breakdown of the system of fixed exchange rates in 1973. Relationships that had been fixed became subject to reflexive influences, and my interest veered from specific companies and industries to macroeconomic processes. My study of growth banks in 1972 constituted a transition point, although I did not know it at the time. With the passage of time, I found the instability of macroeconomic trends increasingly disturbing in both a subjective and an objective sense, and I decided to distance myself from active investing in 1981. After the crisis of 1982, I made a theoretical study of the international debt problem. I was under the mistaken impression that the crisis of 1982 constituted the climax in the process of credit expansion. I thought that the authorities were not doing enough to prevent a bust. I failed to realize that they were doing too much. They actually kept credit expanding, albeit on a more unsound basis than ever. The United States replaced less developed countries as the borrower of last resort, and commercial banks tried to grow their way out of the loans made to less developed countries by aggressively expanding in other directions. This led to another series of crises in 1984 that constituted the real turning point for the banking and thrift industries. We are now suffering from the aftereffects of that climax. The United States government continues to borrow on an ever-increasing scale, but here too a turning point is at hand. The dollar has begun to decline, and foreigners are going to be repaid in a depreciating currency. Perhaps the last great engine of credit creation that is still going full blast is in the stock market, where merger mania is at its peak, but it does not have a stimulating effect on the real economy. The theoretical framework of an interrelated credit and regulatory cycle became somewhat clearer to me in the course of writing this book, although I cannot claim that the process of clarification is complete.